is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Comedian Greg Proops is our guest tonight. Greg can be found on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Friday nights, 9 o'clock on ABC. And also did an episode of Crank Yankers for us, which will probably air a little bit later in the run. Maybe it's even the beginning of season 3.
Is that one going to get on, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Don't worry, it'll be on. And also, got a new gig doing the mad scientist voice in the Pamela Anderson animated series Stripperella, which is going to be on TNN. When's that coming on?
Check my majesty, won't you? yeah, soon. That's what they tell us.
Is Pam Anderson Stripperella? Does she do the VO?
Oh, to be sure. Yeah.
Must be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She reads and everything, man, right off the page.
Amazing. And how is she? Is she convincing?
As an animated stripper?
Yeah.
I think you'll find Pam Anderson smacks a verisimilitude as an animated stripper.
Interesting.
I don't think you'll find another more carefully drawn character in the annals of show business. Huh. And I use the word annals advisedly.
And is this like a bit of an adult cartoon?
It is. It's for the dudes. It's right up your street, if you will. It would park in your cul-de-sac. It's
I know a lot of guys. A couple of things I've been curious about. My friends who live in Van Nuys, they live on dead end streets, and my friends who live in Encino live on cul-de-sacs.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which I've always found interesting.
Well, you see, it's that French influence out there in the valley.
but the thing, a lot of guys get into sort of animated porn, or at least sort of lusty, salacious, animated stuff, like the Japanese animation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to me, if it's drawn, it's not doing it. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Can I add another level to that? Not
sure.
Only is it drawn, it's been drawn by a pervy guy who's trying to perv you out. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So I got double perv going on.
That's true. It's a dude's hand that drew Pam's boobs that I'm supposed to beat off to.
Yeah, yes. Well, if you wish to put it that succinctly, yes, in a word.
All right. Well, I'm looking here, and Greg performed for Prince Charles on the 50th
World
Birthday.
What are you reading, my press
gala?
Release or
yes,
something?
Yes, I am. That's pretty impressive.
I did. I performed with Ginger Spice, Peter Ustinov, Elle McPherson.
How did you
Just get the usual kind of show that you do.
How'd you get that gig?
I have no idea. They asked me, man. It was a benefit. We got paid £1, which we waived. Because it was for his charity.
I like when they do that sort of symbolic stuff, like when a judge says, I'm going to charge you one penny for every floor of the Empire State Building that you went up with the suction. It's like, oh, come on. Just don't charge him anything then. I don't like that stuff. We're paying you $1.80 or something.
You're working for the royal family, so.
Right. All right. Well, that's really interesting. And you went over there to do it?
I
know it sounded like I was running out of steam on that
no,
one, but
all right.
I'm impressed. I really am.
I did. And His Royal Highness met us all afterward, and we had to sing happy birthday to him. And everybody bowed, but I didn't bow. Because I'm American, and we don't.
Nice.
Yeah, you know how in the Olympics they don't dip the flag?
Oh,
in front of the king's box or whatever?
Interesting.
Hey, man, we threw off the yoke of tyranny. I think you'll agree with that.
Well, now this, did they know you from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, they obviously knew. Right. I'm a well-known American to them, so they were happy to have me. And all I did was bag on them, and they loved it, so it was nice.
Wow.
But it was a posh crowd, man. George Michael was in the crowd.
What did you say about him?
I said, you know, you go to a grocery store in the United States, people put their groceries, you know, the guy puts the groceries in the bag for you, takes them out to your car, have a nice day. And in England, they give you a plastic carrier bag and go, we have your money, now go. You make us sick, and they throw the bag at you. You know, that kind of, how they're filthy stupid. And
but did you trash him at all, specifically?
No. I didn't. Fantastically, when I went in, you know, to talk to the woman about doing it, she goes, do you have any material about vegetarianism or architecture? He's quite interested in those two topics. And I'm like, do I? Are you kidding?
Who doesn't?
I got 15 on architecture that rocks. Out in Bakersfield, I'm doing the big, you know.
Oh, they love that.
Last time I did Kilborn.
The waterfall house kills in Bakersfield.
Are you nutty? I got Doric column. I got Ionic column. Plinth. I will crack plinth off on you.
Oh, yeah. When he goes in that plinth block routine, it's like, I've heard it 1,000 times, but it's still funny.
I mean, I've heard people ask you for material before, you know, like, do you have anything about dogs or, you know, Georgian accounting is a pederast. Do you have anything you could say funny about him? But architecture and vegetarian kind of left me right out in the cold there on that one, and I am.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was a fun night, man. You know, and Prince was there and whatever, and he's shorter than you think. Five-eight-ish.
Really?
5'8"-ish. Oh, yeah. I thought he'd be like your height, you know? I thought, because Adam's, I don't know, listeners, you can't see Drew and Adam, but they're extraordinarily tall. And,
we're rangy for radio.
You know, they are rangy. You're very rangy. They're like, I don't know, if impalas could walk upright, you're very tall.
Thank you. I'm sleek. We cheat the wind. We're normal. Right. And we run all the time.
Yeah. Tawny coat. little white tail that wiggles at the sign of danger.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like fast food, those impalas.
Yeah, they are. They're the snack food of the animal world.
It's ironic that one of the world's biggest cars was named after one of the sort of fleetest, smallest animals. Yeah, it's like big hulking car about a 35-pound deer.
But think of how it measured up against other cars in the 70s.
It was still. And by the way, somebody's got to name their SUV the Rhino or their station wagon. The Rhino. There's a whole bunch of cars. A whole bunch of animal names have not been put to cars yet.
Yeah.
Pachydermia.
The whale.
Yeah, we've been...
the
whale. I don't know if that's flattering.
The narwhal.
The narwhal.
Beluga.
Use the P-52 song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Sweden, the narwhal.
I'm just saying, you know, the Pinto, you know, not great.
Do you have a Pinto?
No, I'm trying to think what...
I had a Vega. Do you remember the Vega?
Yeah.
It was kind of the Chevy Pinto.
Yeah, it was basically Chevrolet's version of the Pinto.
They didn't explode, though.
No. Well, what happened was is Ford in the mid-70s came out with a dangerous piece of ass, and Chevy said, we have to come out with our own piece of ass. Yeah. The thing that was great about the Vega, too, is that half the cars they made was this sort of puke green, like a refrigerator avocado green, like non-car color green. Toaster, like blender green, like appliance green, but not car green. Like, we were so high in the 70s, we couldn't even get the color of the car right.
It was avocado and burnt orange.
Yeah.
Those were the colors.
Right, which
I had silver.
May have been fine for a Nehru jacket, but not for a car. Yeah. Like, we just went completely insane in the 70s. People were high. I don't know what went on.
Burgundy was my favorite 70s color.
Burgundy,
and champagne.
Burnt orange, champagne.
That was already 80s now.
Oh, well, champagne started Burgundy. Getting to the 80s,
Does champagne go 80s?
Here's what I'm saying. Avocado is not in anyone's lexicon of colors anymore. Every third refrigerator was avocado. They're making stoves.
Yeah.
Everything was
the
avocado.
Avocado was not avocado. It's not that rich, dark green.
No, it was
goes
light,
rich.
Crappy
It was a light, chartreusey, crappy lime green.
Like the interior of an avocado, not
Awesome. Exactly, nothing. Precisely.
I never thought about that.
He's
exactly they must have been
right.
talking about the innards.
That's exactly right.
They should have called it guacamole. To me, when you name something after fruit, you got to go after the color. Like you said, like orange. Well, not orange, but
cantaloupe.
If you said well, wait a minute.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, you screwed yourself on that one. All right, let's go to the phones.
Oh, can I plug my gig? Sorry.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
We went through
go
this
ahead.
Huge litany of every performance I've ever given.
Yeah, Hollywood Improv, March 21st and 22nd.
That's this Friday and Saturday.
That's right.
Thanks, buddy. I'm at the Improv to headline.
Yes, and I
not an improv show. I'm at the Improv doing
stand-up. Speaking of gigs, I just came from San Diego. Where my daughter won first place in the ice skating competition.
Fantastic.
Really?
A huge one. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
True. It's nice. Because you were on the radio, or
what? Oh, yeah, I mean, they saw me. I greased them a little bit.
That's great.
Right, right.
Now that means more, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, there's a big theater on ice on June 6th at Pickwick Ice Skating Rink.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
I'm going to plug.
10,
we're both
10,
plugging.
10.
Our guest is plugging their show.
All right, go ahead.
Are you plugging your 10-year-old's ice skating gig?
Yeah.
Please. All right, Improv, March 21st, 22nd this weekend. And Greg is very funny, by the way. I've seen his stand-up many times. All right, now, where are we? Actually, once. Pam, but he was funny, so I'm assuming he'll be funny the next time
many
I see him.
Times.
Well, more than once, I'd say. Pam, you're 24.
Huh?
Pam?
Yeah.
What's
go,
up?
Go.
Okay, I'm 24 years old, and I met this guy through my sister's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of guessing he's 45 because he swears. I mean, he doesn't want to tell me.
I'm 43.
I'm 44.
Let's just get it out there.
Right. Well, so what's the big deal? He's too old for you?
Greg's too old for you?
No, it's
Wasn't that I didn't want to tell you. I was slightly embarrassed.
It's just that I really like this guy.
All right.
I want to be with him.
Fine.
But
you have our blessing.
No, he's 24, 44 is a little weird, but you know.
What's he do for a living?
He's like a computer graphics guy.
All right.
Has he been married before?
No.
Huh?
He's never been married, doesn't have any children, anything.
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know how old he is.
But, see, the big problem I have is right now I'm staying with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to automotive school.
Right.
Automotive school?
Yeah.
How
mechanic?
Yes.
She's a mechanic.
Yeah, she's
well,
like
they
that.
Call them technicians now.
I beg your pardon.
Pinky Tuscadero. Go ahead, yeah.
How old is your father?
My dad's 54.
Is this the guy she's talking about?
No, dad's a little older.
Her dad's 10 years older than the guy she goes out with.
She's talking about dating her dad.
So he's a computer guy and you work as an auto technician.
Well, I'm going to school to be one.
Okay.
I see a sitcom here, never mind a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hoop pan. You know, he's scared to put his hand down the garbage disposal to fish something out.
Honey,
you're like,
the Flanders screensaver's down.
Who wears the pants?
Out of the way. Yeah, you're real butch, yeah.
Let me use the monkey wrench on it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You want to? Yeah, you can't figure out anything that has technology involved. He can't turn a wrench or do anything mechanical.
Come on,
she plays by her own rules.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, there's great love. All right, listen. Her line is too bad for me to pay attention to her anymore. Fine. He's a computer guy. He doesn't have any kids. He's not been married
before. Be careful.
Before.
20 years is a big difference. You might not be happy when you're 30 and he's...
But he's just a loser. He's a late start. He's a computer guy. Billy?
Hello, Drew and Dr. Adam.
What the hell was that, Drew?
Billy?
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
First, I have to say I love your work. Been listening a long time. It's the first time I've called.
Thank you.
Actually, I might have two questions if you have time, but if you don't...
All right, go.
Until you got into the do-you-have-time conversation.
Just do it!
That ate up all your time, and then me explaining your time.
Well, I was trying to kiss your ass there, Adam.
The answer to the first question is Ecuador. Second question.
Go.
I've been taking this medication called Effexor.
Yeah.
And it's been... Basically, it has some side effects to it, like... it's murdered my libido, and I have no desire to really beat off or
go to
women or anything. Could you imagine that, Adam?
Not beating off? No, I can't. But listen, Effexor does that. All the serotonin reuptake inhibiting antidepressants do that very commonly. There are three that don't. Cerazone, Geodon, and Wellbutrin. So if that really bothers you as a side effect, talk to your doctor about making a change. Okay.
Making a change or combining it with...
You could add Wellbutrin, but usually that doesn't work so well with Effexor, so it's about switching.
My wife was listening to the show last night with Victoria Silvstedt.
She got pissed at you?
Yeah.
It's starting.
Women are great.
Beginning.
Yeah.
Whoa, what happened with Victoria Silvstedt?
Well, Adam always... You know, my wife gets mad at...
And stuff?
My wife gets mad at this stuff, and Adam's like, "Oh, who wears the pants in your house? What? How dare you put up with that?" If my wife knows not to behave like that because she knows.
Now
she
your
does.
Wife calls the show and yells at you during the show.
So I shouldn't wait till I get home. Then we're done by the time I get home.
So let me get this straight: you're trying to get over on Victoria Silvstedt,
right.
And your wife knew that you were going to have former Playboy playmate.
She doesn't mind that.
Blonde.
It was the part when he wanted to see
the thong back. I wanted to see her thong back. You know?
You wanted to see her what?
She was wearing thong back panties, and I wanted to.
Hey, those days are over, brah.
I know. You know, I know, because I walked into my room about 2 a.m. My wife probably been asleep for a few hours, you know, and she's like.
Oh, no, she hadn't.
Yeah, she probably went to bed after the show. But
did
anyway,
you hear a sharpening noise when you walked in? Never mind.
Spinning that that wheel. So she said, she did this. I knew I was screwed. Anytime women talk to you, you're in trouble. She goes, have a nice time on the show tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right. Well, that's it. That's bad. Because she never, been doing the show for 8 years, she never said that before. Women have a nice time.
What did you do right? What was your reaction?
I was like, come on.
And then just bring it on?
Yeah, just what's up? Come on. And I was like, I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure. And she repeated everything back about, you know, begging to see the thong back and stuff. And I'm like, listen, that's my job.
Why don't you have Victoria Silverstadt come over and make breakfast? Yeah, How about that?
I love when women do that,
Don't you have Victoria Silverstadt take you to your cousin's house this weekend?
Right.
Maybe she'd be a better companion for you.
I know. Like, has a guy ever done that to a woman? It's like, well, maybe David Hasselhoff should escort you to the bridal shower. The guy's never done that. I don't know who. I don't. Maybe Brad Pitt. Maybe Brad Pitt should go to the matinee with you. It's like, guys know that's an unrealistic scenario.
Maybe Brad Pitt will take you to the shoe sale, huh?
But you know, as a matter of fact, a guy would think it was cool if Brad Pitt would take your old lady to the matinee.
Think about it. It's an interesting thing because I believe that our wives trust us and don't believe we have any intent in these things. But it's somehow, it's a competition thing. It's like, hey, it's this and me because she's making it seem like.
Well, here's what.
Isn't that what it is?
Well, you know what women do too.
Yes.
It's always another thing too. This is their interesting
Playboy
argument.
Playboy Playmate coup de grace.
Well,
coup de grace.
Sheesh.
If it had been, what's her name, Andrea Dworkin or something, there wouldn't have been that big a hassle, you know.
You're probably right, but what was I supposed to do?
I'm sorry. Come on, I interrupted.
Fatty, but. Well, here's what I'm saying is that women always do this too, and I don't know what this is, Drew. Maybe you know, but they cannot argue about the main component of the argument. Like, they do this. They go, like, normally when a woman argues with a guy, she's like, it's not that he had sex with my sisters, that he did it in our bed. You know, they do that, and it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The fact that the guy nailed your sister is the main thing, not the fact that they did it in your bed, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know why women do that.
It's part of the sort of the flurry. It can't be just one thing.
It's got to be
a steamroller. Here comes.
If they just stayed with the first argument, you could argue with that.
But you can't get
to the one that's behind the main one that they're arguing about.
Mm-hmm.
They do that
all the time. Because it's not a rational verbal thing. It's just here comes.
Right. And you can't argue with. Here's what they do. Like so.
What you argue makes it worse.
What my wife does is she's like, well, I was like, what I was doing with Victoria, that's that's shtick for the radio. You know how it goes. I mean, that's why I make the big bucks. And then once in a while I try pulling this one. Look around. You see this house? You see that down comforter?
Whoa, the Ralph Cramden, huh?
Yeah. That's for me trying to see the Victoria Silvstats of the world thongs back.
Oh my God.
You know, and she's like, well, if you were just a little better around here, that wouldn't, you know, see, that's where they give it. So you can't argue with that one.
Yeah.
See, it's not that I did whatever I did to Victoria Silvstadt. It's that I'm so bad when I'm around the house that this go ahead.
Yeah.
And that I can't argue about because that didn't take place an hour ago. Yeah. That's been an ongoing attitudinal
thing. That was four years ago, and you still haven't picked up your socks or whatever.
Right.
Ooh, that's bad.
Have fun on the radio.
That's bad.
Fun on the radio.
Men are really stupid, and there's a few. There's no way out of the Victoria Silvstadt scenario. It's like the Kobayashi Maru. It's an unwinnable situation. Is that a chess move? Well, it's from Star Trek. The scenario that they put the captains through before they get to command a starship.
Interesting.
Is an unwinnable situation.
Uh-huh.
In order to win, you have to cheat.
I'd like to beam her back to one of the Klingon planets or something, though. I should probably be listening now. I'm screwed. But yeah, it's an unwinnable argument.
Well, no, Victoria Silvstadt. I mean, the argument begins and ends there, right?
Yeah, but
it's not a matter of
what do they think our plan is with this woman?
What do you want, a BJ?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. My argument to her
was that her actual words last night?
Yeah. I didn't take the Stuff magazine with Victoria on at home.
Right.
That's my big argument.
Yeah.
You know you're in trouble.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that.
Use it in the car.
Yeah, I beat off in the car and then I threw it in the gutter. Come on. I didn't bring it home.
Right, like any sensible man.
Right. All right.
She said
I don't more
a
trouble.
BJ? Wow.
Well,
I don't think I could have handled that, quite frankly.
What do you want, a BJ?
It's out of context, so if you're listening, she was talking to about one of the spluzers that waits out in our parking lot to get stuff signed. All right.
But Drew. Is very Swedish, yeah.
Drew, seriously, back me up. Did I take her magazine home?
Mm, I don't know.
Where is it?
Oh,
I got it.
You asshole.
I thought you used it in the car.
Okay.
You left it here. I got it.
Jack, if we run out of steam, I can peruse it, you know.
Listen, not only did you not who cares if you took it home or not? You were trying to do a radio program.
That's right. Doing my job. Making the big bucks. Amber?
Yeah.
Now, I know better than behave like that.
I know.
You know. You'll learn.
Amber, I bet Drew doesn't pull the who puts the bread on your plate.
No.
Missy.
No.
Hey.
What's up?
Hi. I'm just really confused, and I didn't really know who to ask, so I thought I'd call you guys.
All right, go.
Okay. I have PCOS.
All right.
So what's I should that? Not be able to
polycystic
get
ovarian syndrome. No, you can get pregnant with PCO.
Okay, well, they told me they didn't think I could because I've never really had a period or anything like that. I'm already 23, and I'm not sexually active. I got...
Never had a period,
I had one, for a year when I was 11.
You were bleeding for a while when you were 11, and then that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And that was,
why aren't you on something to regulate yourself?
Why? Because I don't know. Because I don't like that anyway, so...
I'm sure they've told you to do that, right?
Yeah.
Are you overweight?
Yeah.
Have you tried getting that under control?
Kind of. I also have other things wrong with me, so it's kind of a big...
How big are you?
I don't know.
Approximate weight.
Oh, listen, don't give me that I don't know crap. What do you mean you
don't
know?
Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, everyone knows how much they weigh.
Because he was guessing Victoria Silvstedt's weight last night, and he was within a couple of grams, is my understanding.
Well, I was dead on without the thong back. With, I miscalculated for the weight, because it was a print.
But you're doing a visual assessment.
Right. Amber?
Yeah.
What do you weigh?
Probably 180.
All right. I'm going 195.
But most of our callers are 180. Think they're...
Well, I just got weighed, though.
Thin.
Oh, you did. Well, then why did you just tell me you didn't know what you weighed?
Well, I don't know. Whatever.
This is why you get in trouble with your wife, because you ask women their weight.
I'm too logical.
All right, so... Be this a minute, Amber. Look, the fact that you're overweight, you don't have periods, you have polycystic ovarian syndrome suggests that you probably do not ovulate. Doesn't mean you can't or that you couldn't get pregnant, but it makes it unlikely.
Okay. Well, here's my question, though.
Yeah.
That wasn't really my question.
And you should be losing weight and being on the pill and blah, blah, blah. So go ahead.
Are you angry?
Am I angry?
Yeah.
Angry about what?
Life.
Oh, yeah.
You sound kind of angry.
Oh. Well, that's probably... I'm angry because what I've... My question, I think.
All right, go.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, I don't have sex with people, but I got raped 3 weeks ago. Mm. And that was, my first time really having sex with somebody. And,
good times, yeah.
So, I don't know. I felt, really weird. I kept thinking I was, pregnant. And then...
We'll get a pregnancy test. What was the circumstance around this rape?
It was kind of it was more like a date rape, I guess.
What happened?
I was at a party, got really trashed. Uh-huh. And somebody took just complete advantage of me.
So, you never said no to him or anything?
No, I did.
You did?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you know the guy?
Yeah, I kind of know him.
Were you planning on having sex with him?
Never. No.
Did you report him?
No, I didn't report it.
How about
didn't want to turn into some huge thing that was going to turn into.
Why didn't you report it?
It would mess up a lot of people's lives.
Well, if he raped you, he's messing up your life.
Was he?
I could deal with it better than other people, I think.
Yeah. Why? How?
That would be involved.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, it's like a friend of somebody that's really close to them, and I don't know.
All right.
Be that as it may.
But my point was that last night...
Hold on. Greg Proop's going to be at the Hollywood Improv March 21st and 22nd.
Last night, Amber. Last night.
Get that plug in.
Last night.
Okay. Yeah. Last night, I think I might have had a miscarriage.
Okay.
Really?
And I didn't know if I did.
That's this Friday and Saturday.
This Friday and Saturday.
You need to have a pelvic exam. They need to see if there's anything still in there, okay?
Okay.
Because that can get infected and cause bleeding. It can be a problem.
Miscarriage... This rape took place how long ago, did she say?
3 weeks.
So 3 weeks? Miscarriage?
Yeah, not really.
There's some stuff going on with Amber.
Yes, there is.
And listen, that's what this guy did is wrong.
I got the real feeling. Yeah,
there's something going on with Amber.
I was expecting her to say that something that suggested just any sexual encounter with her would sort of be feel like a rape.
Okay, so lose some weight. Get some therapy
and realize that PCO patients, polycystic ovarian disease, have diabetes, especially those that are overweight. So you don't want that in your future.
Greg Proop's in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Greg Proops in here tonight. He's going to be at the Hollywood Improv, the real improv, the 21st, 22nd, this Friday and Saturday. So go out and watch him headline over there. You can also see him at 9 o'clock on ABC on Fridays on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Now, Drew, something I thought about. You two are both smart, so maybe give me a good answer to this.
Whenever when someone starts with something like that, you know you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're going to disappoint.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I need to know. Or maybe someone can call and tell us this, but I doubt it. Phone screener Brian just brought in your coffee, said it was real hot.
Yeah.
I got a couple of ceramic plates or bowls that I put in the microwave.
They got super hot. Right?
The bowl gets super hot. It's still icy cold, whatever's in it.
Well.
And all it does is serve to burn your hand when you try to get thing out.
Yeah, you shouldn't put those. Those are like not microwave dishes.
They're white, and they have white glaze on them, and they seem to be the same.
But there has to be some molecules that move more freely in those than in the usual ones.
Shouldn't there be a big sort of, this is not the microwave section, you know, over the pottery bar?
I've thought that myself, yes.
I want to sue people, and the point is it's not quite screwed up enough to throw away.
Yes, you're still, it's like, mostly like cereal bowls and things, right?
Yeah, you can't avoid it. Yeah, it's, you know what it does? It's like, you know those sort of deep pasta bowls?
Yeah, yeah,
larger
that's what they are.
Pasta bowls?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, it's a conspiracy to burn your hands off.
Yeah, it's super hot. And my thing is, like, I'm doing the math. It's like the bowl is white hot and on the verge of being molten now. How can the how come
all right, but here's,
the oatmeal is not hot yet?
Start doing the math, though. Because I'm sure your mind works like mine. You start going, all right, it's one of those dishes. Well, eventually that bowl is going to heat up the oatmeal.
Right.
So I'll just go for it. And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's amazing.
I don't know how it works. All you do is burn your hand, and then you set it down, and it burns through your table, and it never heats up the oatmeal.
Yep, that's right.
You need to go get a microwave bowl that's built for microwave ovens.
Where is that bowl?
In the microwave section.
Such a mythical bowl?
In the microwave.
There is no microwave section.
I'd go to Williams-Sonoma or Crate and Barrel and just march up to the guy. And
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you want to hear the definition of a supertard. I, at one point, decided I'm going to get some good-looking dishes, and I got rid of all my old dishes, and I bought, like, 10 new dishes, and they're beautiful dishes, except for they all had this sort of band of inlaid metal going all the way around the perimeter. I was like, these are beautiful. And then I realized none of them worked in the microwave.
No, they spin lightning bolts out.
I was going to say, you could actually blow up your house, which is cool.
Well, here's what I would like all our scientists, all our great scientists, to start working on beside my heated sofa idea. The second is, let's start working out a microwave that can handle metallic objects.
Just foil.
Anything metallic. Yeah. Can't we get into that?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had the microwave for 30 years now.
Mm.
We can't figure out a way around the whole metallic thing? It really does slow you down. Once in a while, there's a fork or something in there, or you get... You can't put the TV dinner in there.
Or a soup can.
Or you don't want to take it out of the...
can. Yeah.
You don't want to take it out of the saucepan you have it in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could put the saucepan right into the microwave from the fridge.
There
What's up with that?
Huh? Future.
Let's work on that, everybody.
Why don't they have a car you can shower in, you know? There's a lot of...
They sent a man to the moon, yet they still not invented a car you can shower.
All right.
You know, it was great, by the way. I told I was doing that Toyota celebrity race with Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, yeah.
And Buzz is like 70, and he's I could call him a little ornery. He's been through a lot in his life. He's got those big hands and that sort of man. You know, when they start walking like an ape when you start getting into your 70s as a guy. And you stop bending your knees when you walk is what happens. You walk like a gunslinger in the middle of town. You know, it's like chink, chink.
They bend sideways.
Chink. Yeah, and then bend in. I love that Buzz Aldrin punched out that guy who was bothering him the whole time about not actually going to the moon. You know, there's some madman who, like, confronts him every time he walks out of a restaurant, some hippie yelling, "You never went to the moon, man! It's a Capricorn 1 conspiracy!"
Right.
Buzz finally socked the guy in the face.
Really? You just found that out?
No, I remember.
Did you say to him when you were working with him that... they sent you to the moon, and yet I can't put my soup can in the microwave without the whole house catching fire.
Yet Greg Proops has not found a car he can shower in yet. That's what I told him. And he said, who the F is Greg Proops? Yeah.
No, he didn't. I know him.
No, he didn't say
that. And I know Collins and...
Angela.
What's up, Angela?
I was calling in regards to the simple fact that I listen to you guys every night, and you guys are great.
Great.
Hold on a second. I'm on a road, and it's all foggy.
Serpentine, they are following you.
I listen to all of these people complain about how they've been molested and how troubling their lives are and how terrible it is and how they've gone down the wrong roads and the whole nine yards. And I was molested by my mother's boyfriend for almost 4 years.
How old were you?
I lead a normal life.
How old were you when that happened?
I'm 20. When it happened, I was 8.
Okay.
And it happened for like 4 or 5 years, and my dad ended up pulling me out of the home.
Wow.
Right.
But I mean, like, today, I'm not into drugs. I smoke a little green every once in a great while, nothing major.
Sure.
I have 2 beautiful children, and I don't understand why these people are letting this get them.
Never mind, she heard the dad abuses the kids, but a different story.
Oh, yeah. True, that doesn't happen. How's your husband doing?
My husband is great.
It's good.
He's wonderful.
All right. Well, that's interesting, Drew. How come this? Have you ever had any therapy?
No, never. Never had any therapy, never nothing. Just went and lived with my dad and went to school, and I graduated, and I got married.
Well, Angela, it's interesting that not 100% of people that have abuse have the serious consequences that many people do. But in general, trauma or experiences of helplessness, particularly those associated with violations, physical violations, that sort of thing, change the wiring in your brain. And it leaves people with what are called regulatory failures. They have deficiencies of their self-regulation. And they can't feel okay. They can't have adequate esteem. And so they look for solutions. And many people find their way to drugs as a way of solving that discomfort. That's what it is. It's pretty simple. But some people, for whatever reason, genetic or maybe a very organized attachment or good reparative relationships, the relationship with your dad after you got pulled out of the home, saved you from that.
But people don't call the show.
They don't call that show.
Tell us everything's going great.
That's right. Those aren't the ones that call our show.
So even if, let's say, like in my case, I never had therapy or anything else and everything's going great in my life, does this mean that this is going to affect me in the long run?
It will have an effect on you. It may not be profound. It will affect your interpersonal choices, and it will affect the way, the range and the flexibility of your interpersonal experiences. Will it affect it profoundly? Maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe you're just dead inside. like me.
Oh, yeah. But no, whatever reason, your genetic makeup or your attachment with your parents to begin with or the reparative attachments you had later helped you.
But you're fortunate, aren't you?
Yeah. You should still hate your mom and your stepdad.
Right?
He wasn't even my stepdad. He was just my mom's boyfriend.
Well, you should really then hate your mom even more.
Well, yeah, because in a case she never even, it took her like 4 years after the fact to even leave him.
Mm.
Yeah.
She stayed with him after the fact.
Aren't you pissed at her?
I am to a point, but she moved out, and 4 years later, I started my family and got married, and her and I have grown closer.
All right.
I guess in the fact that, I put that behind me and I never dealt with that, I guess I don't deal with her. I mean, yeah, I despise her deep down, whatever
sure.
the case may be,
me
but I'm not going to hold that against her because no matter what, that's my mom. If it was me, I would have killed him and been done with it.
Yeah, a lot of interesting feelings coming out here.
Well,
I
want to
kill him, I despise her, but yeah, we dealt with that. I want to kill her.
All right. She's my mom. What am I supposed to do?
You're cured,
tell
baby.
Her to get lost? I can't do that.
All right.
She's out of our life.
Well,
now,
Angela's complaining as much as any caller.
Mom, I'm so mad at you! I am so mad at you, Mom!
That was completely out of context. Hey, Angela?
Yeah.
Your mom's probably molested herself.
Yeah.
So you feel sorry for her, right?
I don't know if she ever was or not.
Check that out. That might help you.
I bet she was.
I bet she was, too. And that might help with the healing.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's the way that history affects your interpersonal choices. That's why we asked about your husband.
Right.
All right, baby doll. You're doing fine.
Cool. Sweet.
All right.
Have a good one, guys.
Good times.
All right. She's a mess.
That guy's going to abuse her kids.
She's a time bomb.
I despise her deep down inside. I would have killed him and been done with it.
But no sweat.
We're close. What am I supposed to do? It's my mom.
I love her.
Yeah.
Well,
obviously great love there.
The Sopranos have kids too, you know what I mean? I think that she's my mom argument doesn't always wash, does it?
I was hearing some of the stuff that Saddam Hussein's kids have been doing. Whoa.
I've been telling you about
you,
this.
You just refer
tigers.
To rape and sickness, but boy, the depths of the pathology.
A lot of torturing, wow. A lot of rape.
A lot.
Hey, that stuff gets blown out of proportion in the Iraqi press. Don't believe everything you read.
The Iraqi Star?
And when you read the Basra Daily Journal, you got to take that with a grain of huch. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
You don't want to swallow that whole.
Yeah. Yeah, they're decent. They're misunderstood.
Mm. Yeah. Besides, you want to make a statement on your first time out with the press. You know, like Saddam, you cut a few guys' heads off, you get a rep, and then everybody respects you after that.
Yeah, there you go.
I completely agree. Diane?
Hi.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm a huge fan of Greg Proops. I love you, Greg.
Thank you, darling. I'm awfully fond of you.
I know. I can tell. We've had a moment.
All right.
Hey, you know what?
Are you from the Bay Area?
Yes.
Oh, no wonder.
See, and I've actually met you before.
Dove?
Yeah, because I used to work at a radio station. You came in and did the morning show a few times.
What, in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What, KYU?
No, Alice.
Oh, yeah, Alice, yeah. Hey. I'll be doing it next week. I'll be up on Alice.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you about...
I'm from San Francisco, Drew. There was a look of wonderment puzzling him.
I got it.
how was it working on the Star Wars movie?
Oh, it was groovy. You know, George is low-key. You should be so low-key when you have $250 million worth of stuff lying around a studio.
What'd you do on the Star Wars movie?
I was one of the pod race announcers in The Phantom Menace. I think you'll find that's the finest movie of the five Star Wars movies.
The what kind? What announcer?
It's the fourth one.
Pod race announcer?
I was. Yeah, there's a pod race in the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And me and Scott Capurro, this other comedian, do the announcing in it. We CGI'd our heads off, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
We actually did have prosthetic makeup that we wore. We had 5 hours, and they made molds of our head. Yeah, and we wore giant prosthetic heads and blue, outfits for the blue screen so that they could computer over you. And then Lucas decided to make these really ugly heads that they did on the CGI, but they kept our voices in. And you can tell it's me if you listen to the movie.
Huh.
I'm doing Ron Fairley. I don't know if you remember Ron Fairley, the baseball announcer. He used to play for the Dodgers, played for... the Expos, and then for years he was announced. He is the Mariners announcer.
Well, give us a
Rod Fairley, Jack's actors. Adam Corona is one of the. Check that. Corolla. He never got anything right in 200 years. so I'm doing him in the movie.
He broadcast for 200
that
years.
That little human being is out of his mind. I don't care what universe you're from, that's got to hurt.
Diane?
Yeah.
All right. So,
and I'm going to L.A. this weekend, and I'm going to see a taping of Jimmy's show tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you, after you're done going to Jimmy's show, the next night come over and see my show?
Well, hey, if you can hook me up, baby, I'll be there.
My show's like Jimmy's show, except it's funny, and it's shorter.
Nice.
Oh, how dare
And no
you.
One's going to throw darts in someone's butt or something like that.
Uh-oh,
I joke and I kid.
No,
see,
joke.
It's the rough camaraderie of the studio is what Adam and I like to refer to it as. We bag each other slightly and then move on. No, Jimmy's adorable. I adore him.
Hey, Diane?
Yes?
Yeah, you can go out and see Greg's show on Saturday night.
I know. I'd love to.
Why don't you just do it? You don't have to be hooked
and
up.
Then go
just
uptown
$12
and
get
Jimmy's
a ticket.
Show.
Yeah, but that's why I'm going to Jimmy's show because it's free.
How much is a ticket to one of your shows?
I would say prohibitive, somewhere between $450 and $500. It's like the Rolling Stones,
right?
It's quite a lot of money.
It's like Celine Dion.
Yeah, I think you can pay in Krugerrand or precious stones. I'm not certain. You can barter.
Well, what's it cost to get in the improv these days?
$15 or something.
And then you kind of a couple of drinks, you're fine. What are you talking about?
It's also physically close to Jimmy's show. We're over on Melrose and and Crescent Heights, and Jimmy's show's over on Hollywood and Highland.
Right.
How are you going to get to Jimmy's show this weekend? They got the street all tied up with the Oscars.
Go behind.
No, they go in front, I think.
But, I mean, you have to drive around behind to get the history.
Who knows? Listen, Diane.
That's our next caller.
You're schlepping out from the Bay Area. You can fork out another $13 and go see Greg Proops.
Are you driving, Pookie?
When are you guys going to do Jimmy's show again?
The two of us?
Yeah.
You guys?
Well,
me and Drew?
Yeah, I saw the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, well, I was sort of sidekicking, so I didn't look at it as us doing it together because I was already there and Drew was invited to do the show. Well, when another B-list celebrity drops off.
Yeah.
Next time they get desperate.
I'm a B-list celebrity. I'm hoping to get on it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get on it and then drop out at the last second? They'll get Drew in there.
I did.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. I'm trying to think of when Greg did the Jimmy's show.
It was the test show, baby. No one saw it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They're all running together. Well, anyway, he killed on the test show, so he's due to be back on the real show soon, although they've been preempted the last couple of nights.
Oh, because of the war. Really?
Yeah.
God, I hate that.
You know what's great, though? I got to be honest with you. I'm now realizing I'm going to take this to my grave. Like when I was in junior high, and it was there was an earthquake. We didn't go to work that day or go to school that day. I was happy, and then when I started swinging a hammer and it would rain real hard, we wouldn't have to go in that day. Now I'm a quasi-celebrity working in Hollywood, and war breaks out. Jimmy's show's not going on tonight. It's like, yeah, free pass.
Yeah, you're not just happy; you're ecstatic. Right.
Okay. So I see an international conflagration has to happen.
Whatever it takes.
Right, in order for you to achieve some measure of satisfaction.
Whatever it takes. Okay. Yeah. Greg Proops here, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sunday, the used is coming in here, and then Monday.
Right, the hedgehog? Here.
The hedgehog.
Didn't they pick him up in Pakistan a couple weeks ago?
Did they really?
Sheikh Mohammed?
Oh, yeah, there you saw him on the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah, that guy was slightly less hairy than Ron Jeremy. Actually.
And slightly thinner, yeah.
Yeah, you like how the jihad's going, huh? You like that, don't you? You like it? feels good, huh?
I heard a cleric. Islam cleric in Qatar saying that the Americans now are carrying out the jihad against leaders who are counter-Islamic.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice, man.
That leaders who do bad things to their people or need a jihad carried out against them. Therefore, the Americans are the leaders of the jihad right now.
Wow.
Well, that's an interesting twist, but it's a backhanded compliment,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you were a refugee from Iraq...
But I imagine, you know, each country has their own little spin.
Yeah.
Qatar's friend...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We're down with Qatar.
Yeah,
we're down. And you know what the camp is called?
We have Qatar centers all over the place.
Hmm?
What? The Camp Snoopy. I'm not kidding. There's a Camp Snoopy in Qatar.
There is?
Yeah. I don't mean like Legoland Camp Snoopy or Knott's Berry Farm, but the name of one of our camps is Camp Snoopy, the air base.
Spelled the same?
It's Camp Snoopy. I'm not kidding. It's fantastic.
That's where they keep the Macy's Snoopy balloon off season.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Drag it all the way over here.
Yeah, they put it over there. Yeah. They fly it out in front of them.
And in Oman is Camp Garfield, and Odie lives there.
Now I know you're kidding.
No, I'm joking about that, but there really is a Camp Snoopy.
Greg Proops.
I'm here with Facts.
In studio, by the way, who's wants to show up with jokes next time. Greg is here. Oh, sorry, buddy. I was just
See, I can take it.
I know you can.
Yeah.
Now he's pouting. Greg is going.
If I had your money, I might be a little more gracious, but I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, you're doing just fine. Just fine. It's buddy Drew Carey over there. Greg is going to be at the improv out, the original improv on Melrose this Friday and Saturday.
That's right.
So,
and it's a one man show. It's a tribute show, in fact.
Tribute to yourself?
Yeah. I do me for the first half hour, and then I break off a little.
All right, but then back to you. What's that, Drew?
2 minutes to take a call here.
All right, here we go. Adam?
Gotta keep Adam moving.
Okay.
Caller Adam?
Adam's 28. What's up?
Hey, I'm 28 years old. I just got married 3 years ago. I married the girl that I went, I dated all through high school, through college, and then until we got married. She's hotter than hell. All my buddies tell me how lucky I am, but I'm bored.
Well, part of the problem is did you ever experience anyone else? Did you ever date around? Or?
Nope.
That's tough.
Yeah, and I don't know how to get that.
Male too. It's males don't see a female can pick the right guy. That's really what they're looking for. Looking for the guy.
Right.
Men are waiting for the right time, and that time is when they're done doing their S.
Right.
Figuring out who they are, figuring out who they are in a relationship, getting stuff out of their system.
Yeah. What does a guy in this case got to do though? Turn to porn and stuff like that? I mean, you got to walk the straight and narrow, baby.
Well, do you have kids?
No.
No kids.
Well, you still got to walk the straight and
narrow.
Well,
there's two things you can do. You three things. Greg's brought up one, which is sort of let yourself out in other avenues that are not actually involving people.
Right.
Two, you could get some couples therapy to see if there's something going on in this relationship that can be salvaged and healed. And then three is to end this relationship.
Well, are you that serious about it?
She's great. She treats me wonderful and everything. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I see my buddies dating other women, and it's just,
All right, but let me ask this. What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? I'm a repo.
Now, what does Adam do for a living?
Always a bad sign.
Yeah, what
repo.
Do you do?
He's
for
a repo.
Oh,
man.
I saw your thing.
What do I do for a living is when they repeat it is almost as bad as starting it with, well, right now, that means something bad. What do you do?
I'm a repo man.
You're a repo man. So
yep.
So you just go out and get cars that guys miss payments on?
That's right.
Yeah. Almost unlimited access to some of the most glamorous women in the world.
Oh, they love it. They love it. Yeah, you're not going to get laid. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best advice, which is you think because you've been getting laid consistently for the last 11 years that you're going to parlay this into something with your Slim Jim and your mace on your belt. It ain't going to happen. So this is the best advice I can give you, which is...
Enjoy what you got.
Enjoy what you got, and don't think there's a whole bunch of pussy out there waiting for you to climb on board. It ain't going to happen. You're going to dump this chick, you'll beat off for a year and a half, and then you'll beg for her back.
Yeah, that's right.
All
that's
right.
What I'll do.
It's true.
We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Greg Proops is our guest tonight.
Word.
Greg can be found at the Improv, the original Improv in Hollywood this Friday and Saturday night. Also, Friday nights at 9 o'clock on ABC. Whose line is it anyway?
What? May I mention the other two comedians you're performing with me? I've neglected to mention their names, and they're both tremendously funny. Dave Anthony and Greg Barrett will be there as well.
Trying to think if I know those guys.
Greg Barrett, Dead Funny. You did an HBO thing called Mantastic. Did a show called Mantastic.
Never What'd mind. You do on Crankhackers?
I did a hilarious bit where we called a video store.
Right.
And I was the overly officious regional manager who made the poor clerk, the put-upon clerk, repeat everything 63,000 times in a row.
Wow. List every movie ever made. Really.
It got good. Especially Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween 3, Halloween... Could you repeat that, please?
Halloween 1, Halloween 2,
which she did.
Halloween 3. Yeah, she did. And actually got her to do the hokey pokey at a certain point, too.
Oh,
yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
And then, mind you, this was after, I don't want to blow Crank Yanker's mystique, because I think a lot of people think that it's made in an alchemist's, you know, den somewhere in the Arctic Circle, but we actually go into a recording studio and make these calls, and I was there for, what, 7, 10, 15 hours, and we had struck pay dirt not at all up till that point in the day. It was a very rough day at the phone.
We struck gold on the last call of the day, but it's sort of like it's always the last place you find it kind of thing. Like maybe we would have done another one, but I think we eventually got it. But here's the thing. It is very arbitrary. You can, and it's sort of cyclical too. Like you can do three calls in a row that are all great and then have a long dry spell and then put together a few more. Or you can just have a good day, or you can just have a horrible day. It's sort of much of it is based on who picks up the phone, what mood they're in. Even if someone's home or you can get to the right person.
I could not get these people to do, you know, I mean, I'm trying different, I'm hello, you know, and Adam finally is in my ear like John Madden, you know, take him down, you know, clothesline him. And I'm, we were just not getting anybody, and I thought, how do people make prank calls? I've spent all day on the phone here, and everyone's gone, okay, you know, just been the most agreeable.
It is, it's amazing how long people will talk to you, too.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, you literally call random numbers in the middle of the country in the middle of the day and have 25-minute conversations with people.
Did you ever work at a gig where there was a phone nearby? I mean, I know you built houses, so I'm presuming there wasn't a phone.
No, not normally.
Because I was a Schmendrick, and I worked in stores and other places where people. And I would have never stayed on the phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Had someone called to jerk my chain or yank my crank, if you will.
If someone called you at home, you wouldn't stay on the
phone
with them for 20 minutes.
No, I don't. I don't.
Even people you like.
I'm peremptory.
Drew calls up. I can't wait to get off the phone.
What the hell? You weren't talking to me. I talked to your assistant.
Well, that's something I set up.
Except when Victoria Silvstadt calls, collect from Schnurgenbergen.
Schnurgenbergen.
I'll be using that in my act tomorrow.
Jordan.
Do you want a BJ?
Yes.
Jordan, you're 18. What's up?
Oh, hey. I love all you guys, by the way. Just calling to ask Greg Proops how it came about that you did some voices on Nightmare Before Christmas.
I auditioned for the picture. They were doing it in San Francisco. The model shop was in San Francisco where they made all the figures and shot it up there. And I went in and auditioned.
Where was that?
Nightmare Before Christmas?
No, I mean, what was the model shop?
It was South of Market. It's gone now, but they built it for the picture like in 93 or whenever this was. I was 14 years old then.
Right.
I was
a child. What did you play? What, I love that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really love that. I like the music.
I'm scoring and all the cult stuff I'm in.
I like the music. I like the whole idea.
Do you?
Of mine.
Yeah. I like the first song. I was the duck. I was the devil. I was the Harlequin demon, and I was also the sax player.
So you were monsters.
I did a bunch of me and a bunch of miscellaneous people. Two comedians, Debbie Durst, Will Durst, who's a comedian in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. His wife was also. We got cast. We're not singers at all, but we sang through that whole movie. But we have funny voices, so that's how we got to be in it.
That's a Tim.
Tim Burton, produced. Yeah. He didn't direct it. Henry Selick directed. Who directed James and the Giant Peach and Monkey Bone? And he's very clever guy,
indeed. Tim Burton due for something soon? Has it been a little while?
He did the Sleepy Hollow last, didn't he?
Oh, my goodness. He did Planet of the Apes, the remake. Is everyone forgetting Helena Bonham Carter? Yeah. No makeup. It was fantastic.
Yeah. The worst Tim Burton movie ever.
It really is. It's really awful. Well, thank you for remembering that I was in Nightmare.
One of my favorite movies of all time. You're one of my favorite comedians. So
Geordie.
I dug Edward Scissorhands, too,
I
by
did,
the way.
Too. And Ed Wood. I really liked Ed Wood. That had a lot of heart, I thought.
Oh, and Adam, one more thing?
Yep.
I just wanted to call, you might already know this, Family Guy is being released on DVD.
Ooh. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I really
That's kind
really
of a documentary about you, isn't it?
Family Guy.
Excited to hear that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that show. And Seth MacFarlane, very funny. Did some crank calls for us, by the way.
I didn't realize we were going to focus on my voice work so much tonight. I've really never, I always think of myself as a stand-up, and tonight it's all about the crank yanker and the...
Yeah, it's been... It's come
sessions,
up,
baby,
it's
sessions.
It's been a theme. John?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I usually wouldn't call you guys, but the guy who I tell my promise to is the guy I screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
I had sex with his girlfriend, and now that she's pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's that's your best buddy?
Your buddy's girlfriend.
I've known him for like 10 years now.
How long is she pregnant? How far into the pregnancy?
She didn't say anything about that. She just said, and it was like back in early March.
That you had sex with her?
Yeah.
How's she know it's your kid?
She says she didn't have sex with him at the time.
What do you mean at the time? She would be just pregnant now, right?
I guess.
It's early March now.
Aren't we only 3 weeks into March?
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
About 3 weeks since 20th.
Two and a half. Yeah.
He's quit hanging up. We were busting his chops.
Nope. John.
Yeah.
What's up with your math?
Well,
it's not working.
I guess I'm not good with math and weeks and everything.
Yeah, but you don't know when you nailed your girlfriend's...
Your boyfriend's girlfriend?
Buddy's girlfriend?
It was like early March or like late February. Okay. Around there.
So now we're getting into February.
Well, it was around that time. Like
the frost was still on the pumpkin.
What was the circumstance? Where were you when you had sex with her?
Yeah.
What, I mean like my house or something like that?
Where were you?
At my house.
Okay. We went on a date or she came over? What happened?
Oh, she called me up. She said she was looking for him.
Yeah.
And I said that I didn't know where she was. And she just started asking me what I was doing and if I wanted to go out and do something.
Yeah.
And truth is, I didn't want to because this is my best friend's girlfriend.
Yeah, so what happened?
Well, we ended up going out to the movies, and she wanted to... I was going to drop her off at home, and she wanted to come back at my house.
Who do you live with?
My parents.
Yeah, where were they?
They weren't here. They were at work.
I see.
After a movie?
Yeah. They work late.
They work nights.
Yeah.
Okay. And
what movie was it? Maybe we can determine what week this was.
Yeah.
The new movie with Bruce Willis.
Oh, then I think it was like last week, man. That movie just opened. The Army picture.
Yeah, Tears of the Sun or
something.
This
guy's
like
lying
that.
So bad.
Yeah, it's all bogus.
John, you're all over the map. You idiot.
That was like
nice,
a week ago.
Nice try, John.
Listen, you retard. You can't even get your story halfway together.
God damn it.
He's an idiot. Early March. I mean, she says she's pregnant. Oh, Jesus.
Drew, you're a doctor. How long does it take to determine
about
if you're
pregnant?
About two weeks.
Be that as it may, you could tell. You could feel that he was bogus.
The Bruce Willis movie where he played
the Dalmatian?
Yeah. He drove the security boat with the chick from Sex and the City in Philadelphia. He's so high. What the hell? Hey, Brian, what's up with the phone screening? Screening. Oh, Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, or is that Lauren? Lauren, that's horrible screening. That kid was all over the map. Please. Thank you. Gina?
Yeah.
Thank you for not replying, by the way. I like that.
What?
Take your medicine. You're 18. What's up, Gina?
Well, in my relationship right now with my boyfriend, I just have a lot of insecurity.
Hold on a second. What's up when stupid guys try to lie? That's the move. That's the next series.
You watch Joe Millionaire?
That's what I'm saying. What's your middle name? That's the one that comes between the first and the last.
You mean like David or something?
I heard today that he's now charging $15,000 per radio appearance.
Joe Millionaire?
Really?
Why didn't he charge?
What am I getting tonight? Like 11? 11.5?
You're getting scale.
Yeah, all right.
Do we even give scale?
Yeah. Next up, Joe Millionaire, finger bangs.
Did you see the cover of People this week? It says Joe Millionaire talks. Wow. And I have an issue that says slowly underneath it. Like a moron.
Millionaire. He's looking around the room. Pencil holder.
Right. Middle name, don't walk.
It's not like he was wearing like monogrammed cuffs and there was a Z in the middle and he had to work something out quick. You know,
it's Zeus.
Like, just go ahead and toss whatever name you like, including your own real middle name, by the way. Be fine. Or pick a president or a loved one. All right. I guess there are female names you could use by mistake. You know, that could slow you down.
For a male middle name?
Well, no, I mean,
Adrian, I suppose.
It's not every name on the planet. You know what I mean? You have to choose between the 145 million males that are on this planet to lift one of their names. But anyway.
Good times.
Yeah, this is good times. But when stupid guys call the show and try to do prank calls, it's like, like in my house?
Yeah. That was my favorite answer. And then where was it? In my house.
Where'd you have sex with her? In the vagina?
That's what I thought he was going to say.
Like in my house, you mean? Gina?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's right. So in my relationship now with my boyfriend, I just have a lot of insecurity problems and a lot of jealousy problems.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, with the jealousy, there's this girl at his work, and she makes him things all the time. Like, she makes him CDs of songs that he sings at work and stuff.
What kind
like
of work
that.
Does he do?
He's a manager at a craft store.
A what store?
Craft store. Oh, he's gay.
Well, that's why she makes
about?
Things.
I knew you were gonna say that. I mean,
she's sitting around making things all day. She just gives handsome off to him.
They don't make CDs at craft stores.
Oh, I didn't hear any
CDs. They're beads and stuff.
I didn't hear the CD part.
Well, so she makes him CDs, and for Christmas she made him this this like oil painting that she must have spent like hours on. It just
how old is your boyfriend?
He's 19.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
What's this chick look like?
She's not very attractive. I mean, she's cute, but in a cute kind of...
Don't worry about it.
Really?
She's really short. She's not on the heavy side, but she's on the chubbier side.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the truth. She probably has a little crush on your boyfriend.
Oh, trust me. I know. She's told him this.
Okay. Yeah, and your boyfriend works with her, and this happens from time to time, and you don't want to stir things up in the workplace. She just give him a, you know, he just takes a CD, and he's nice to her and gets her card or something, but he doesn't like her.
I know. And in the beginning, I was fine with that, but then she did this painting thing for him, and she must have spent
This is not about him. It's about the girl-girl thing. It's a competition.
I know, but
it's like an insult to Gina.
Again, with the punishing of...
the guy.
Here's what I'm saying. I said to you, she probably has a little crush on your boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your boyfriend is probably just trying to be sort of nice and semi-diplomatic about things and not stir things up. And as a guy, when a girl likes you, you can just shine her on for years because they never really do anything.
Right.
They just get you little gifts and little chocolates and stuff in CDs, and you just sit there and take it and play stupid. And that's what your boyfriend is doing. Now, she's, making paintings and things. What was the painting of?
It was some song lyrics that he really liked, but it was one of the Lifehouse songs. You guys played it like once or something like that. It was like...
Do you not like the music he likes, and she does like the music he likes? Is that what's...
He likes, and that's what makes me even more mad, because I like these songs that she's giving him, and he likes them, and he sings them all the time, and I'm like, oh, are you thinking of her when you sing this song? And I'm just really jealous and insecure, and it drives me insane.
I don't think I've ever asked a woman what she's thinking of when she's doing something.
Except for Victoria Silverstone.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
not
like,
thinking though. That's
I was
just
like
squirming.
When chicks get mad too, and they weave it in awkwardly, like you're sitting down the next day, and you're like, "Honey, pass me a salt." Oh, why don't you get Victoria Silvstedt to pass you the salt? Like, geez, that's smart.
It's the Lenny Bruce routine.
Yeah, if it was one of your friends, you'd start yelling at him, like, "Dude, that is so lame. What do you mean? What are you talking about with the women?" You go,
"Yeah, right.
Nice one, honey. That was good." All right, Gina. Stop busting this guy's chops.
But I'm not busting his chops. It just gets
all right.
Like, it gets to the
maybe point you should have a talk. What if you had a little talk with her?
That's what I said. But he thinks because she's like the shy, timid person, and
mm-hmm.
he thinks that
no, she's not.
Freak out.
Well, she's okay. What if he said to her,
"It's bothering my girlfriend.
Listen, I dig all this stuff you're giving me, but my old lady, it's not kosher with her."
We had a fight about that a while ago, and he talked to her, and he told her that, and she's like, "Okay, well, I just want to be friends," and I was. Forever. Sorry.
All right. Then break up with him, you bitch. Jesus Christ. She used the S word. And Gina's a little pain in the ass.
Yeah.
This is not the Tiger Beat hotline. Who cares? Boyfriend works at a craft store. Some fat chick giving her lyrics on canvas, and she's all freaked out about it. Who cares? And listen, everybody. I don't want to argue with everyone all the time. You know, I always say, look, tell him this. I told him this, but he said that. Well, then tell him he should. Oh, that's what he said, but then I said, all right, then break up with him.
Dude, she's 18, man.
I know.
She doesn't have a lot of big arsenal with her.
I can't stand 18-year-old
also,
women.
18-year-old, he's 19. Is this really going to last forever?
No.
I mean, hey,
right,
let it go,
not.
You know what I mean? 2 years' time, you got a new guy, and he's got a chubby girl.
Yeah. And the guy works at a crafts place.
It's strange. She's aware that there are insecurities that are being acted out, yet she can't let go of it.
Yeah.
I like she's shy. She's so shy she makes him CDs and paintings. That's how shy she is.
That's how she expresses.
She's shy.
Herself.
She wears her thong and she comes in. And
Katie, 22.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
What's up?
I have a question. I'm 7 months pregnant and I tend to be horny all the time, but sex doesn't satisfy me.
Do you have orgasm?
No, not since I've been pregnant.
Ooh.
Really?
That's all the progesterone from the placenta. But that is another one of God's great...
Yuck.
Jokes is that late in the pregnancy, women, many women get super horny.
Uh-huh.
You know, all that pressure down there, it's great.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble understanding the premise of that joke, Drew.
Well, that
it's not funny, huh?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You said, like, ironically.
Ironic.
Yeah,
one of his ironic.
Funny, things. Sad.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And
are you married?
No, but engaged. With
all right.
The father.
Okay. And what would going down on a girl, Drew, who's that far along, taste any different?
Might. Not necessarily bad, but different.
A little scalp flavor, perhaps?
No hair.
You have a vivid imagination.
Have you worked hard at trying to get an orgasm going?
Well, yeah. It just seems it's more comfortable just to daydream about it than it is to actually do it.
Oh, this is that male-female thing again.
Read
books about it?
Well, do you use any? Have you ever used anything in the past, like a vibrator or the tub or anything like that?
Another small child.
Yeah. maybe a vibrator.
Is
what
this common?
That?
Yeah, to not be able to get an orgasm during pregnancy.
Yes.
Yeah, the progesterone can shut people down in certain
really?
Ways. Yeah.
Do you feel backed up, Katie?
Yeah.
Backed up.
Well,
do you orgasm normally? Did you ask her this when she's not pregnant?
No, I didn't.
I did, yeah.
You did?
You've
yeah.
never asked anyone that, have you?
No.
No.
So, why don't you, and your man's not cutting it? Is that
no,
what you're
it doesn't seem like it.
Does he give you oral sex?
Not since I've been pregnant.
That's the problem.
He finds it a little uncomfortable.
That's the problem.
That's what he needs to do.
Yeah,
too much meconium down there.
What's meconium?
It's what babies excrete from their rectum when they're being born.
I thought he invented the radio.
No, it's meconi.
Interesting. Katie?
There's still the controversy persists.
That's right, Tesla. Hey, Katie, or meconium? The world may never know.
Well, why don't you put some fudge down there or something? I don't know. Entice him.
Yeah,
one of those dragons like in a miniature golf course, and if you get one in, you get a free one.
I think you need to use the tub or use the vibrator.
Okay.
And take care of this yourself.
Okay.
Because you're backed up. And it's giving you a limp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, baby doll.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're looking good, though. You know, good times. You should go down on your wife when she's pregnant, shouldn't you?
No, it's your duty.
It is?
No.
Yeah, of course it is, buddy.
It is. You don't have any kids, do you, Greg?
Nothing I know of.
You're planning on
it? Please stop playing that noise. What?
You planning on it?
No. No kids for me.
Really? And your wife's cool with that, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's sort of her choice, isn't it? But, I mean, I think we were agreed on that from, Jump Street, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I like that.
Yeah. You going to have kids? You're all.
Yeah, he's in a different school.
Yeah.
What school is he in?
You're in the Italian school.
I was going to say, he's macho, chest-banging hair on his shoulders.
I don't, you know, my feeling, I almost feel like...
it doesn't matter what you feel. It's what your wife feels.
Yeah. Well, she's almost as lazy as I am when it comes to the kids.
No.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to your wife about it?
Sure, her clock's not ticking.
What are you talking about?
She's lazy. She wants kids, but she thinks about getting up at 4 in the morning, and she doesn't want to do it. She's lazier than I am.
She is waiting for you to say, I'd really like that. And she's so flipped out that you're not. She's afraid that
Drew, you are so goddamn high. It makes me sick.
That rejection would be so painful.
She told me last night she wanted to work for another year.
Yeah, that was after the Silvestre discussion,
right.
Of course.
This is after a huge row.
No, this was before that. She didn't want to have kids at all.
Well, wait till she comes home tonight after the year lazy thing. Did you have a good show tonight? I'm lazy, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you get Victoria Silvestre to have a baby for you?
And I'll be like, can I start with the blowjob? Okay.
How about it?
Yeah. All right.
No, I don't want kids. But I think that's... I'd like kudos for that. I mean, not that I want to be everyone to congratulate me for it, but people
If you know you're going to be a bad parent, hallelujah. God bless you.
Yeah, people always congratulate everyone for having kids no matter how insipid of a parent they are.
If you're going to be a bad parent, that's great.
You know what I mean? I'm 14 years old, and my cousin and I, and we're having kids, and everybody goes, that's great. And it's
wonderful.
Like, no, it's really not that great. Sometimes.
No, I agree. But let me ask you that. Well, a couple.
Unfortunately, it's the people that have that degree of honesty
like
and insight.
We want you
to have kids.
We'd like
now.
You to have a kid. But I mean, you're smart. I mean, do you consider yourself selfish? And I don't mean that in a bad way.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was thinking about myself.
What the way I am. Like, I figure, like, well, I want kids, but on the other hand,
I don't want to
do anything. I don't want to get up in the morning. I don't like vomit.
But I've known this about myself for 20 years, you know what I mean? It's not this isn't a new thing that I went at 40. By the way, I'm not going to have kids. I knew at 22 I was never going to have kids.
And you found a woman that will go along with you.
Yeah. She didn't want him either.
Yeah.
Maybe it's selfish, I suppose, but why is that always the inference that I'm not impugning what you say. It's a logical question.
I think quite the contrary. It's being somewhat self-sacrificing a little bit.
It's being realistic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, even in my own family, that have children that perhaps a little advice earlier on might have helped guide them.
Here's the cop out in this part of the country, which is, I'm a crappy parent. I really shouldn't have kids, but we'll hire nannies. We'll hire people around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be fine.
Oh, and in this town, always. We shouldn't have them. I'm too busy.
Yeah,
I won't care for them. I'm going to go on vacation without them.
But I'll have some. They'll be fine.
But
they're
rich.
Good time.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't mean selfish in such a negative way. But I mean, you have a career. You have a life. You feel fulfilled. I guess this is my statement to you. If I can put words in your mouth, you lead a interesting, productive, fulfilling life, and you don't feel like there's anything missing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I do know that what's not missing is children. You know what I mean? The one thing that I'm not pining for and that I wish that I'd had was kids.
Yeah. Mm. In a way, I guess it's
do you hear voices when you're cutting
secure.
To meat? Because that's the other thing that goes along with this for me. It's
you think
sociopathic
you may take
thing. Yeah.
All right.
I'm joking, of course. No, I just never really. I don't know, you know. I understand why it's an imperative, because it's a biological imperative, but I don't get that everybody... It's not so much that everybody has to have them. I get hacked off because I feel like people feel like they're entitled to have them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, get to you because I physically can.
You pushed our button now.
Yeah. All right. Let's not go. I'm
going to
get too excited.
We'll tell you.
No, but we feel...
This is something we talk about all the time.
I don't want to turn the whole show into this.
Right,
I feel the same way.
I didn't know you talked about it all the time.
But we rarely have somebody spontaneously give us our point of view, sort of...
Oh, that's what your point of view is.
And we now demand that you have children with this attitude.
Right.
This
I know, right, because I'm
we'll be right back.
To.
All right. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Greg Proops is in studio tonight. Greg can be found at the original Hollywood Improv this Friday and Saturday, headlining, and you can find him at 9 o'clock on Friday. Well, I guess you can TiVo that on Whose Line.
To be honest,
anyway.
I don't even know if we're on at 9, right? I think we're on hiatus till summer, but we're on about 50,000 times a week on Comedy Central and ABC Family Channel. And
it is a very heavily syndicated show.
It's a workhorse, baby.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of the kind of show that you could run on a multitude of different channels.
And kids watch it, man.
And it's sort of evergreen in the sense that it's, you know, you're not talking about current events or right. news or anything. Well, I mean, sometimes
occasional John Major joke from the old English show. How old are your kids, Drew?
10.
They watch Who's Line?
Yeah.
No, see? Kids watch it. You can watch it with your family.
Yeah, it's actually
something I would have never anticipated.
They like Wayne Brady.
They like Wayne Brady. Again, I rest my case. Kids like it. And, you know, a year ago we were on against Survivor and stuff and some other show friends. And I thought, and I talked to someone about it, and they said, I watch it with my kids because how am I supposed to explain the premise of Survivor to my 7-year-old, you know? These adults are screwing each other over for $1 million, and then you watch Friends, and they make some sort of oral sex reference, and now you're all awkward. Yeah. Whereas we just do hilarious homosexual jokes with each other, which is easy to explain and fun for kids.
I don't know if anyone caught Survivor last night. I did, but
I was busy watching the mosque sit there in Baghdad.
I was going to say, it was the only channel playing programming was CBS last night.
Yeah, I watched a mosque.
So
and
what
still,
happened?
Well,
the sun rose.
They have these challenges each time, you know, to see who wins immunity or whatever.
Right.
And this challenge, and you know, my argument for a long time, Drew, that TV is getting sort of grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting sexual. It's getting sort of physically grotesque. I mean, we're watching a Fear Factor and watching guys eat yak sphincter and stuff like that. It's become okay to see actually people vomit and have bile come up and all that kind of stuff. Yet still no nipple. No visible nipple.
No. Sex will make you dead. It'll cause you to commit crime.
Now, this was the latest challenge on Survivor. They have the two groups, the two tribes. They had two equal size chunks of beef, and I'm talking about sizes of, size of a mule,
like a side of beef.
Side of beef hanging off these hooks, and the idea was with your hands tied, your whole team's hands tied behind their back. How much could you pull off, only using your mouth, obviously, and spit into the scale? Whoever had the most weight. And meat.
That's vile.
It started off sort of okay, but then as their faces were buried in it, there was blood all over the forehead and chin, and then it got to the point where people would rip off huge chunks, and it would be hanging from their mouth, and they would get to the basket they were supposed to spit it into, and they would open their mouth, and it would be hanging there because some of the meat or gristle would was stick, caught in their tooth. And another person would come up to them.
With their mouth.
And this happened with the smaller pieces, too, and actually sort of French, like male-on-male meat French kissing, trying to rip the gristle, almost like used to pass the apples back from the neck in high school with chicks at summer camp or something.
God, I miss the cave days.
This is actually ripping the meat from the other person's mouth and then spitting it in the thing. And I'm thinking to myself, 2 weeks earlier, when all the hot chicks from one tribe went to take a loofah in the stream and they got topless, they had to actually, now, there was not just sort of open hand boob. They were covering up. They were putting their arms over themselves. But there was obviously one point when some areola was hanging out underneath one of the girls' forearms.
Had to scramble it.
Had to scramble that. Yeah. We can see him just spitting the putrid beef into a sombrero. I can't see a little bottom areola? Really?
Yeah.
It really, and if we did see a little areola, they get a letter.
I will remind you that you've had discussion with television censor people.
Yes,
I have. You've had them from at least two different networks. You've had the inane, bizarre, arbitrary discussions.
Or eventually breaks down to me screaming, "Are you high?" repeatedly.
Yes.
And then, Adam, fundamentally,
you don't understand the difference between underwear, undergarments, and underpants.
I was told by Comedy Central that underwear was okay, but underpants was not okay at some point.
And the distinction is?
They said so.
Okay, sure.
And that's when I just went berserk. But the idea that we're now watching people drink their own vomit on primetime television.
But you can't show any kind of chi-chi at all.
Still cannot see any nipple.
You got to go to Europe,
drive me insane.
Take it around Europe.
Well, you know what?
Write your congressman.
I may just, if I could write, I would do that almost immediately.
The answer is your hands, the voter.
Sarah?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I went to my gynecologist and had a test done because I was lactating out of one of my breasts.
Uh-oh.
And she said that what the test was testing for was to see if there was prolactin present.
Right.
And the test came back negative.
Okay.
But it's been going on for about a year.
Did they check your thyroid?
No, they did not.
Are you on medication?
No.
No meds?
No meds.
Not even birth control pill?
No, I'm a recovering addict. I don't take meds.
Were you any opiates lately?
No.
Okay. I still have your thyroid.
I just perked up when I heard opiates.
What are you recovering from?
Drug addiction and alcoholism. I've been clean for 8 years.
What was your primary drug? Alcohol?
Alcohol.
And what else did you use?
Methamphetamines, marijuana, inhalants.
All right. And she checked the prolactin level was normal. And you're not pregnant?
No.
Okay.
I had it checked about 6 months, almost a year ago.
I would repeat a prolactin level, and I would definitely get your thyroid checked. And are you menstruating normally otherwise?
You know, actually, recently I started to menstruate abnormally.
Yeah, you might want to see an endocrinologist. It probably is nothing. Do your breasts get irritated a lot? Do they sort of rub in?
Very sore before my period.
Yeah. Sometimes just the rubbing on clothing and that sort of thing can stimulate lactation, so it may not be any big deal. But I would have it rechecked again for sure.
Does it make any difference that it's out of one side, not the other?
Makes it less of a problem.
Always seems to be out of one side, doesn't
it? Yeah, usually one side more than the other.
Hey, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good times, though. You know.
How's your recovery going?
Very well. 8 years.
Wow, 8 years. Great. Wow, we got.
Sure, you said that 10 minutes.
I didn't hear 8 years.
Ago.
You got involved when you were 17. That's good.
Right. Yeah. And I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. Actually, you know what? A lot of what you say on the air I use in treatment.
God bless you.
And where are you calling from?
California.
Novato?
It's in Marin.
Bay Area,
Marin.
Baby.
Hey, Sarah.
North Bay.
Sarah.
Yes?
Got to deal with the nicotine next.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear you smoking right now. So let's deal with that one next, all right?
Would that affect the prolactin level?
No, it wouldn't. But stop the cigarettes anyway. It's going to affect more than just the prolactin levels.
All right.
Thank you.
All right there, baby doll. Let's talk to... Were they looking for one of those prolactin
secreting
tumors
or
something?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can just get a little breast leakage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can.
Would you say that a very small percentage of women that don't have any problems, any tumors or anything, just get a little lactation going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk to Jessica, who's 17. Jessica?
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, I have two questions. He told me I had a really retarded excuse, but okay. I told him I'm on the Ortho Eva patch, and I don't have any more.
You told him that?
I'm sorry?
You told him that?
Oh, the guy that answered.
Okay.
This guy that answered. Anyways, okay. Well, I told him that
dumbest callers. We know. I told him.
I'm sorry. Okay, anyways. Okay, the point is...
Right now, you're supposed to be asking us something.
Yeah, okay. Okay, sorry.
All right, here we go.
All right. I'm on the Ortho Eva patch, and they gave me 6. And my mom doesn't know I'm on it, so I used to have, a job...
Is it an Ortho Evra?
I don't know, I guess.
Okay, anyways,
Ortho Evra, whatever. I went to Planned Parenthood to get it, and, my mom doesn't know I'm on it.
Right.
So now I don't have a job, so I don't have anything to do after school, so I can't tell my mom, oh, Mom, I'm going to stay to get the patch, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I come home all the time, so I really can't go get anymore.
Mm.
And I'm on my last one.
Uh-oh.
And then, I'm going to get my period, tomorrow or, sometime next week. And then after I finish it,
It's funny that her period takes the weekends off. Like, if not tomorrow, then Monday. Does that work, Drew?
No.
Work weekends?
Yeah, you can will that.
I'm saying, how long is it going to last, before I get pregnant? Do I have to use protection as soon as,
Yes, yeah. yes.
Oh.
I don't understand the part where, does your mom pick you up from school?
No, my sister drives me, but she doesn't really want me to be happy.
Why don't you call Planned Parenthood, see if they can call in a prescription for you?
They don't have a drive-thru?
No, probably not. But call them.
For abortions?
They'll be interested in you staying on contraception. So give them a call, see if they can help you out with that, right?
I know. Usually they don't answer. They usually have some recording thing. But anyways, okay, that was my first question.
Wait a second.
What? We got to get you some of this patch.
How far is your high school from your house?
Oh, I go to Palisades, I live in L.A.
How far is that? Oh, well, everyone knows that's 27 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, why do you go to Palisades? Why do you go to Pali if you're in L.A.?
Because my sister decided that was a good school and when she was an eighth grader. So then, I just my mom told me to go there because she didn't want us to be in different schools.
Do you bus
in? Though, why don't you just go to like Beverly Hills High and live in Utah?
But how
does that work? Because you don't get to go to
wherever you want.
Palisades High if you live in Los Angeles.
What do you mean?
Well, how do you pick your high school?
Where in Los Angeles do you live?
I live in Crenshaw.
Yeah, this is my point. Everyone who lives in Crenshaw would like to go to Palisades High.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't everyone going there?
Oh, I don't know. My sister, like, applied to it, and, like, I guess she had good grades or something, and that's why she got in.
And then how did you get in?
Because I have a sibling, so that, like, automatically gets
me. All right, okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if the legacy thing works at the high school
she's
level
yes.
when you live
she's
out of town.
Yes.
You don't have an address or anything in the Palisades?
No, but, I mean, I went to the Planned Parenthood in Santa Monica over mm-hmm. there on the promenade.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I worked on the promenade, so that's why I, like...
Right. All right. Here's what you need to do. You need to, one day, tell your sister, listen, I got something going after school. I got cheerleading practice or band practice or some BS. We're staying late. We're doing something. We got a field trip, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you don't need to pick me up on Tuesday.
The sister?
Tell the sister this. She goes to Pali with me.
She goes with you. I thought she was ahead of you or something.
No. She's a junior.
So she's under you?
Yeah.
Well, okay. First off, why is she driving you if she's a junior and you're a senior?
Well, because I used to drive, but not anymore.
Why not?
Because my dad wants her to be a better driver. Mm. I guess I can drive too, but I mean, like, she handles the car because it's her car.
I guess so.
Okay. Here's what you need to do then. You need to tell your kid's sister to shut her pie hole. You're swinging by
Planned Parenthood,
and you're going to pick yourself up some patches.
But then she'll tell my mom.
No. You can't threaten your younger sister? Is that scared of you?
Oh.
Hey,
okay. All right. Well, forget it and listen to me.
Okay.
I'm going back to my original lie.
Okay.
You need to tell your sister to go on. You tell her, listen. What's her name?
Veronica.
Nina? Okay, Veronica. You tell Veronica, listen. Hey, next week on Wednesday, I don't need a ride. You go on ahead. I got this and that going after school.
Yep.
Then you get one of your goofball friends to swing you by Planned Parenthood and drop you off at home.
Yep.
All right? And don't put the patch on your forehead. She'll see it there.
get a year's supply this time.
Yeah, and do it before Wednesday.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
don't take out a
money. All right.
Jesus boy.
Yeah, chicks got no craft in them. They're not crafty. I can't think of a guy's would have worked this out a million times. A million years ago, they would have worked this out.
Everything's a war plan for guys.
And there's not a guy alive who would be taking any kind of direction from his kid brother.
No.
Scared that the kid brother would do this. Kid brother's not going to drive. Kid brother's going to tell mom. You kidding? It'd just be that fist with that sort of mixed in. Like, first, as I bring my hand across, the elbow's going to catch you first, and then you'll get the back part of the fist.
That's what you're going to get.
Come on, get over here.
Did you do that to your little brother, man?
No, I did it to my sister.
Oh, all right.
She ran
away from home. Hey, we're going to break.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. All right, stay out of that crunching munch.
No, we're on the air, baby.
Drew brought the kettle corn into the studio. And
I did?
It's dangerous.
Weren't you carrying it?
No, I had my hand in it, and you said bring it in the studio.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's stuck onto my hand like a bad Lucy skit.
That stuff was addressed to the crew of Loveline. Hey, you guys ate half the box.
Yeah, you guys got it.
Hey, guys, look at the names on the board.
All right, we got Pat, Jordan, Josh, Bryce, Taylor, and Dax. Wow. That's what they're naming the kids these days. You know, I was thinking about Lucy. They don't do enough comedies where people get their heads stuck in things or their ass stuck in things or their foot stuck in things. Remember, it was a pretty acceptable comedy premise that you would put your foot into a trash can.
A bucket.
Bowling ball.
A bucket.
A bucket. You couldn't get your foot out.
Hand in a bowling ball.
Hand stuck in a ball. I don't think we buy that anymore as a nation that...
Not when there's beef trading.
I stuck my hand in a bowling ball and I cannot get my hand out of the bowling ball. Now I'm swinging it around and knocking things over.
And how are you going to drive to the hospital with the bowling ball in the car?
Well, hijinks will ensue when I attempt to drive that 18-wheeler with the bowling ball. Josh?
Yeah,
well, the bowling ball would hang out the window because he didn't want Barney to see that you'd been so stupid, or we didn't want Wilma to know that you went bowling
that
night.
Oh, that's the other thing, too. You had to disguise whatever you were stuck in.
Right.
And you had something you had to do that night simultaneously.
Yeah. Yes.
And the boss is coming.
Right. If you had the bucket on your head, you'd put lipstick on it.
Right, a wig, yeah, yeah. Eat the whole dinner with it.
That's right. Josh?
That actually happened to me.
Oh, no, yeah. I liked that. You know the other one, too, I liked? Although this lasted longer than the bucket on the head, the bowling ball.
Well, bucket in the foot, too, is the big one.
I liked the one where the fat, hairy guy would have to go and drag because he was trying to get into the all-girls party or something like that. And then the drunken boss guy would come on to it
all night. Never noticed that it was a guy at any point.
And they'd be fanning themselves going, fresh!
Right, fresh. I'm to that expression, too.
After my wife died, I swore I'd never love again. After meeting you, Frederica.
Right.
And they'd, and they'd always do something like they'd show their amazing man strength to them somehow. Like, they'd arm wrestle them and throw them across the table, and they go, ooh, you're a feisty one, aren't you? You're a spunky little minx, aren't you? It's like, really? Really? You don't see John Goodman's mammoth forearms hanging out of that dress?
Josh.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up?
I need to know how to get out of an abusive relationship with my father.
Where's your mom?
Where's my mom? Oh, she lives here.
What's your dad doing to you?
He physically and mentally abuses us. Then me and my brothers and my mom.
You give a call to Child Protective Services.
Your brothers.
I've done that.
And what happened?
They didn't want to take it for whatever reason. They took off on me.
What did they say?
Oh, well, since there was no marks when they came by my house, they called it discipline.
No, you're lying.
No, I swear to God. I swear to everything. I'm not even lying. In fact, we had an episode last night where the cops came out and I was bleeding.
And what'd they say?
It's discipline. They said either if my dad goes to jail, I go to jail too.
Well, first of all, there's never been a social worker on Earth that calls anything discipline.
Can you turn down the police scanner, by the way?
So there's no way you do talk to Child Protective Services.
I've had two social workers.
All right. And they didn't call it discipline.
I don't know what they call it. I was like 12, 13 years old when this happened.
All right. So it's now 5 years later. Maybe it's time to get a social worker back involved here.
Well, my mom's going to go down to the courthouse tomorrow and get a restraining order against my dad, but I don't know if that'll do any good because they're married.
They're married. Well, that's where they put the line down the middle of the house and say he has to stay on this side. That's another one of my good sitcom premises. You can't cross.
Yeah, but then what about when I have to use the kitchen in the morning?
No dice. Open.
You have to put a pulley over. So
I
got to
use the bathroom.
Right.
Well, Josh.
Yeah.
How old are your brothers?
One's 15. One's turning 13.
No. I hate this son of a bitch known as your dad, by the way, because usually when they have daughters, they just become strippers and prostitutes. But when you have boys, they become violent. All right.
Yeah, I got an anger problem really bad.
Yeah, sure. This is why later on, when you or one of your brothers commits some heinous crime, I would like your dad killed.
Yeah, two of my friends said the same thing.
It'd be nice. Okay, listen,
they're
Josh.
A little bit older than me.
Okay, let me say, I'm sorry for your situation. Please do not take this violence out on society and other members of society.
Oh no, I'm getting help.
Okay, good.
No, good.
Good.
Forget that.
Stay with your mom. Your mom's got the right idea getting restraining orders and all that kind of stuff. And I would throw yourself on the mercy of the law and see if you can get this guy out of your house and out of your life. And the repeated calls to child safety and the cops and all that, it's about all you can do. Other than that, stay out of the house. Stay out of your dad's crosshairs.
Any chance you can go to college?
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
Go away to college then.
Go away to college.
But here's the thing, too, Josh. Seriously, you go to school during the day. After school, you go to baseball practice or band practice or whatever kind of thing. You come home at 7 o'clock at night. You wave to your parents. You walk in your room. You beat off feverishly. You go to bed, and you get up, and you go to school the next day. And on weekends, you sleep over at your buddy's house. I mean, I know that's not a solution.
No, it's a temporizing measure. It keeps you safe.
You gotta buy a year until you go off to college.
Yeah.
But I agree, get Child Protective Services involved. And when are we going to start, by the way, killing the parents as well as the kids? This is my sincere hope. I know Greg probably isn't with me on this. But here's
I was just fuzzy on killing the parents as well as the kids. I think I lost the...
Well, here's what I'm saying. This nut job who went and abducted Elizabeth Smart and basically had sex with her up in the mountains for 9 months. And then they interview the guy's dad, and the guy's dad is saying he's a hero.
What?
Well, he could have. Most people who abduct people kill them.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, they return them in pieces. This guy kept them safe. Yet, now, here's the thing. And then, as it turns out,
Tomahawk,
I believe
cruise missile.
This guy did things to his son.
Oh, of course.
So what I'm saying is you essentially created this monster who then went out into society and then essentially permeated society and then took a person, an innocent person.
Oh, you're
took
saying
him up
his
the hill.
Father said
yes,
that.
Yes.
I thought you said Elizabeth's. I was like, so confused.
Emmanuel's
there.
Father.
Okay, yeah,
right,
Emmanuel's father. And it's like...
Yeah, of course. It's always visited on the rest of the world, right? The abuse that starts in the family.
My feeling is I would like the guy who created this held somewhat responsible for it, especially
when people would say, well, something happened to him, too. You know what? Everyone who's alive at the time of the perpetration, the whole chain should be taken out.
That's right.
The other one's already gone. That's fine.
The list of, you know, Andrew Cunanan, I remember his crazy dad, the guy who shot Versace. He was complaining that his son was like, said, you know, son was a good boy and all that kind of stuff. I'd like a bullet in that old coot's head, too. And then the mom of the North Hollywood bank robber who sued the city for
shooting the kid, for shooting the bank robber after he shot everybody.
Right, wrongful death. And she, as it turns out...
The most heavily armed bank robber of all time.
As it turns out, she was running a home where she was keeping elderly people against their will and, like, hammering their social security checks. I like that old coos to have a bullet put in her temple, too. And I'm just saying, it would send a nice yet firm message to society that if you're going to create monsters and then cut them loose on a society... If and when they do something, we're going to come looking for you. Just like if you bred a dog to fight and didn't put it on a leash and then just sent it out in the neighborhood. Well, that dog's going to eventually bite somebody and someone's going to come sue your ass off and you're going to lose your house.
Hey, we'll be right back.
All right. I love this song too, Greg. And now we have to give some thanks where thanks are due. First, the hardworking staff, Brian over there, who's blaming the person who wasn't in the chair next to him.
I'm watching CNN.
Because Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, went to Miami or something this week. I want to thank Junior Executive Producer Lauren for doing a wonderful job all week. Anderson, of course, for... being very fast-fingered and slick all week long.
Producer Ann.
And producer Ann, of course. Greg Proops for being a great guest.
Word.
And, again, over at the Melrose Improv this Friday and Saturday, headlining. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Billy?
Hello, Drew and Dr. Adam.
What the hell was that, Drew?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.